Thanks for listening to the Mornings with Carmen LaBurge podcast, made available thanks to support from listeners just like you.
Helping you wake up, remembering this is our Father's world. This is Mornings with Carmen LaBurge on Faith Radio. If we're gonna fly, we fly like eagles. Arms out wide. If we're gonna fear, we fear no evil. We will rise. By your power, we will go. By your spirit, we are bold. If we're gonna stand, we stand as giants. If we're gonna walk, we walk as lions.
God's got the whole world in his hands this morning, and God's got an eye on you right where you are and the things that are of deepest concern to you today. And so I want to speak that word of assurance here at the outset of Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBurge. You're listening to Faith Radio. If you live in or around Mankato, Minnesota, God's got his eye with you on the Rapidan Dam. The Rapidan Dam, for those of you who aren't familiar, is in South Central Minnesota, near Mankato. It has suffered a partial failure, but it is, this is the language of the people who know the most about it. It is in imminent danger of collapsing. There's currently no plans for mass evacuations, but if you were to watch the online videos, there are certainly people's homes that are, literally on the edge of the brink right now. And so we want to be praying for Jill. We know Jill's listening in Mankato this morning. And Jill, my guess is that you've got a lot of friends who live in this region. And so I just want to talk briefly here about how we pray for one another when a dam is about to break. And it may not be a physical dam like the one near Mankato. It may not be a physical dam like the Rapidan Dam that's literally holding back, such a volume of water it's hard to imagine. It might be an emotional dam. I have a friend named Devi who back in 2014 talked about experiencing this emotional dam burst in her life. And she talked about it as, it started with just this like small hole. I could feel like emotions leaking out. I was responding in ways that, were not normal for me. She would talk about, her heart beginning to pound and like rage rising within her in ways, having thoughts and feelings and experiencing emotions that she'd been suppressing. she'd been bottling up. And it really only took one person gently asking her what's wrong. Like literally that's all it took for the dam to burst. And all of the emotions that she had been, bottling up for so long just came pouring out. And, I just remember the conversation, including something along the lines of her saying, look, I felt like I was supposed to have this barrier to my emotions. I felt like I was supposed to keep it all together. And she'd really just been living under this tremendous pressure for so long. And all it took was one person saying, hey, Devi, like, what's wrong? For that emotional dam to burst and for everything to come rushing out, those thoughts, those feelings, those emotions that she had been holding back for so long. So I want to say today, if you've been damming it up for a long time, if you've been trying to hold it in and hold it together and hold it back, God can handle it all, like, right? And the people who are living downstream of your, of your emotions, they already know something's wrong because you're leaking. I mean, I know this because this happens to me, right? When I treat the people who are closest to me in ways that don't honor God, in ways that, are unkind, when I'm short-tempered, when I snap, right? Not like snap, like in the show snapped, but like, when I'm less than fully gracious, I know it's because I'm, I'm trying to hold something in or hold something back. I'm not allowing God to reign and rule in those ways and in those spaces. I'm not allowing for there to be a release of those things in my time of prayer with God. And so I know that for me, it's time to get away and get some time by myself with God, with my journal, and get it out. Like, I know what works for me in terms of a good release valve. I need to do something physical. I need to spend some time alone with the Lord, and I need to write. Like, I know that's what works for me. I'm wondering if you know what works for you. I want to encourage you to be in the Word of God today so that the Word of God might get into you before you get out there into the world that God so loves. We spend time here at the opening of the first hour of Mornings with Carmen every single day in the Word of God. We look at the Growing Your Faith verse of the day that's provided through Faith Radio. If you're not signed up for it, you can do that at myfaithradio.com. Today's Growing Your Faith verse of the day is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. And so where in the Word are you today? You can hit me up on the text line 877-933-2484. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. You might start by saying, that is crazy. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. That's crazy talk. Don't you know what's going on in my life, Carmen? My life is a wreck. It's a mess. There's nothing to be joyful about. Really? There's nothing to be thankful about. Really? Come on. You and I can be full of joy in the midst of any circumstance. Everybody's full of something. Like, right? We want to be people that are full of grace and truth. We also want to be people that are full of joy. Joyful. Full of joy today. A dispenser of joy into the world. Joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Like, right? There is always cause. There is always cause to give God thanks and to be joyful, even in the midst of all circumstances. You and I can find the joy in all of it. We can be thankful in all circumstances, not for all circumstances, but in the midst of all circumstances, always and in all ways giving thanks to God for every little thing. For every little thing. And so today, for the sun that shines or the rain that falls, we're gonna be thankful. For the grace that flows without end, we're going to be thankful. Today may not be the day that every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Today may not be the day that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But today, my knee will bow and my tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. How about yours? Today might not be the day that we see Jesus face to face, but today is the day that we show him forth to the rest of the world, that we represent Christ. Can you do that today? I know you can. I'm right there with you. All right, could you use a little good news this morning? Yeah, I bet you could. So we're going to talk with our friend Billy Hollowell from the Christian Broadcasting Network and faithwire.com about some good news stories out there in the world. Jenny Allen, who is a Bible teacher, and she does conferences all over the place. She's just been witnessing some incredible revival as she's been visiting college campuses, and she's seeing a generation rise up. You want to know about that? We'll find out more from Billy next here on Mornings with Carmen. Hey, what are you hungry for today? Like, think about that for just a moment. Like, what are you hungry for? Jesus said, we are blessed if we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Are you genuinely craving or hungry for righteousness today? We're going to talk with our friend Billy Hollowell from CBN. You can find what we're talking about at faithwire.com. Hey, Billy.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, I am well. I am well. Talk with us about what Jenny Allen has discovered in terms of campus revival and what people are really hungry for.
Yeah, you know, I had a chance to catch up with her at the K-Love Fan Awards last month out in Nashville, Tennessee, and really just interesting because she's probably had the best view of young people on college campuses. She's been going college to college, speaking to Gen Z, and, you know, it's funny, when I think of Gen Z, I think of these little toddlers running around, but really Gen Z, it's 18 to 24 is sort of the adult version of Gen Z, and so they're rising up, and you know, we say a lot of negative things about this generation, but what she has seen is that the revival that's unfolding across America, a lot of it's happening on these college campuses among Gen Z, among young people. And she told me that it's very real. She said there's no hype. They actually are hungry for God and that it's been the most beautiful thing. And you'll remember, I think we might have even talked about this, they were doing baptisms in the back of pickup trucks on some of these college campuses because, you know, they would speak. Jenny Allen would go out there, she would speak. The kids would be so moved that they would want to be baptized and they'd have to find trucks to do it. And so, you know, it's just, it's so interesting to talk to people like her, because even though there's so much negativity going on, she's seeing young people respond to the gospel in incredible ways. And she said, it's been super encouraging that this generation wants God.
And I think the ways in which this emerging generation is going to be engaging God and the things of God, let's say not only, you know, singing the songs and the songs that they will learn, or studying scripture, maybe using YouVersion, which wouldn't have been available, you know, when I was in college, but even the ways in which they're going to learn to pray and gather for prayer. Do you know anything about this Gather 25 that Jenny Allen is putting together?
Yeah, you know, this is going to be another one of these big events. She does a mixture of traveling and then her own events, and also partners up with some organizations. And so that one, I don't have a ton of details on, but I know it's going to be, look, everything this woman is involved in ends up being absolutely incredible.
All right. Well, I'll just tell you guys that here's what I know so far. I know that it's like a 24-hour period of time at the end of February, beginning of March. So like the last day of February, February 28th, 2025, over into March the 1st. And it's going to be global. I think the goal is like every continent, every denomination, everybody together for 25 hours, you know, right? As like, you know, because it's going to be 2025. So we will dig more into that. We'll learn more about Gather 25. If you know anything about it out there, hey, you could always let us know. Maybe you're already involved. 877-933-2484. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I want you to think for a moment. What is your heart full of if from your mouth what we hear are words that are arrogant, vulgar, rude, accusatory? And then I want you to ask, what might lead a person to storm into a church and spew curse words and vulgarities during a sermon at a pastor? And then how would you respond to that individual? Well, here's the story of how one pastor responded. Again, we're talking with Billy Hollowell. He's a reporter for CBN, and this story is also posted at faithwire.com. Billy, tell us about this.
Yeah, this one is really an interesting story. I first saw it on a Christian website, read about it, and I thought, this is incredibly interesting. It was a pastor in the middle of his sermon, as you were saying. His name's Ed Newton from Community Bible Church out in San Antonio, Texas. And you know, he was in the middle of his sermon, and this man named Anthony, a homeless man, he ends up yelling out at him. And you know, the first time I read the story, I thought, okay, is this guy screaming at him? Is he angry at him? He actually admired the pastor's shoes, and he yelled out a curse that was obviously inappropriate at a church, you know, about the shoes. Like, those are nice, you know, whatever shoes. And, you know, obviously this is a person who isn't in church very often, you would assume, because, you know, most people would know that you don't yell out, let alone curse, in the middle of the church. But it was an interesting moment because the pastor asked for his name. You know, you're in an awkward position, right? Somebody curses, you've got kids in the room, you're the preacher, you need to hold control of the room. And so Ed Newton essentially sort of, you know, kind of just says, what's your name? He yells his name out and he kind of moves on. But then it happens again. And it's interesting because he was preaching through the core values of the church, and it was about celebrating life change. And so they had baptized a couple hundred people. They were celebrating that. And he was giving this sermon. And, you know, as he's giving the sermon again, he yells out again. And he was talking about the Pharisees, the pastor, which is so interesting. And as he's talking about the Pharisees and the way they were behaving, Anthony's, you know, yells out, that's blank blank, you know, talking about the Pharisees. And it's interesting because obviously shouldn't be cursing, but what he was actually, the substance of what he was saying, he was actually agreeing with the pastor. That's terrible, the way that they were behaving. But again, Newton had to stop and he had to say, look, if we're one-on-one, I'm not going to correct you, but we've got little ears in the room. He kind of had to say, you're welcome here and you're loved, but let's stop cursing. And it was sort of a gentle rebuke, again, from the stage. And then something crazy happens. This man, Anthony, says, he points to this other guy in the audience, Michael, and he says, this man saved my life today. And so now the pastor is totally out of his sermon and he's thinking, what in the world? What does he mean he saved my life today? So he ends up bringing them up. And to make a long story short, there we've got video of this. Obviously, we did an interview with Ed Newton too at CBN that you can watch talking about this. But Anthony, it turns out he was planning to commit suicide that morning. And as this other man, Michael, who had come from church, he was at church, saw the sermon. He felt compelled after the sermon to go and feed a homeless person. He ends up stumbling upon Anthony. Anthony says, hey, I want to go to church. Michael turns around, takes him back. But moments before that, he was considering ending his life. And Michael showing up very literally saved his life. So, you know, from the surface, we could say, okay, this man's in church. He's cursing. Obviously, that shouldn't be happening. But the fact he was there and that this other man, Michael, saved his life, they ended up just inspiring the entire church as, you know, and here's the other thing. This pastor embraces Anthony, the homeless man, hugs him. He says, when's the last time you were hugged? And he says, it's been a long time. And he brings him up and he gives him a hug. And people start bringing money up. I think they collected $5,000 for Anthony during this service. So it's just, I'm not even doing it justice because it's a crazy video, but a really powerful story.
I love it. I love it. You can read the whole thing at faithwire.com. You can also check out the video there at CBN. We're going to continue our conversation with our friend Billy Hollowell here in just a moment. But I want you to just think about, like, how would that have gone at the church that you attend? How would your pastor have responded? How would you have responded? Have you ever been so moved by a message that you actually went out and did something that provoked someone else to want to go to church? And then would you turn right back around and go to the second service with them? Like, that part of the story is a part of the story that I don't want us as Christians to miss, because it was the motivation of Michael that eventually gives Anthony the opportunity for the redemption he is now experiencing. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen.
Of what do you need to be forgiven today?
Yeah, that might be in an interpersonal relationship. It might be that you need to forgive yourself for something. We all stand in need of forgiveness when we're thinking about our relationship with God. And thanks be to God that he has done everything that is necessary that we can be forgiven. And we need to ask God continually for his forgiveness for the sins that we go on and commit each and every day. So here at Faith Radio, we talk about forgiveness a lot. I talk about it on Mornings with Carmen. Susie talks about it on Susie Larson Live, and Bill talks about it in the afternoons. And so we have pulled some content from all of our conversations about forgiveness, and we want to make those available to you. So you can text the word forgive to 877-933-2484, and we will send you a series of text messages that feature audio clips on the topic of forgiveness from all of our shows. And we're also just going to encourage you with Bible verses and some prayers on the topic of forgiveness. Again, just text the word forgive to 877-933-2484. Hey, what would you give up to follow Jesus? Think about that today. What would you give up to follow Jesus? Is there something or someone that you know that's some kind of obstacle to your journey with Jesus? Maybe it's something or someone that keeps you anchored to a way of life or to a pattern of sin that you know Jesus is calling you out of. Jesus says, whoever comes to me and doesn't hate their father or mother, their wife, their child, their brothers or sisters, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Now, obviously, Jesus doesn't intend for us to walk away from all of our worldly commitments, but sometimes he does call individuals away from particular relationships or even vocations. So Billy Hollowell is here with us from faithwire.com. Billy, tell us about the conversation that you had with Tasha Layton.
Yeah, this is interesting. Obviously, people know her for her Christian music, but her journey into Christian music is a really fascinating one because she was directing music at a church. She was a Christian when she became a backup singer for Katy Perry. And it's, I mean, Katy Perry obviously
not a Christian singer.
not a Christian singer. She did have roots in the church, which her parents are preachers. And, you know, her first album, I believe, was a Christian album. And then she obviously became Katy Perry. And we know that that story has gone a very secular, worldly direction for her. But Tasha Layton becomes her a backup singer for her. She travels the world with her. And she said there were a lot of years, you know, that basically she wasn't sure how God was going to work things out for her. She didn't understand why she was on the path she was on or going the direction she was going. She had always wanted to be in ministry, and here she is. She's doing backup for Katy Perry. And it's just a really interesting and beautiful story, because what ends up happening is, you know, at the end of this crazy whirlwind journey, she was offered a secular music career, and she very likely could have made it, you know, big in secular music, made a lot of money, had a lot of fame, but she ended up turning it down. And, you know, she talked a lot about the importance of trusting God. She said, "I felt so firmly that it wasn't what I was called to do." This was the secular music. She said that there were compromises in that world. "I wanted to connect people to God with my music, with my actions, with my team, with my integrity. And I didn't feel like I could fully do that with freedom going that route." So she turns that down, which takes a lot of strength, honestly. I mean, a lot of people would ignore that voice and say, "No, we're going to do it because it's money and it's fame." And she ended up going into Christian music, and now we know she's found a lot of success. She said she's very fulfilled. She's standing in the fulfillment of prayers. And I think it's a real lesson in trusting God, that when we're not sure what's going to happen or where we're supposed to go, that we can lean into him. And even when it's scary, when it doesn't make sense, he will work it out. And they still maintain a friendship. You know, she still has that friendship with Katy Perry, which is very interesting, and I think important in so many ways. So it's just a fascinating story.
Yeah, I also appreciate the sort of implied invitation that, you know, maybe you're in your mid-30s and you feel like you've maybe had some false starts on the journey of discipleship or somehow, you know, applying that in your vocational life. I think that there's some encouragement here that, you know, she says, I didn't really feel like I was doing what I was called to do until I was 35 or 36. Yeah, that may be 55 or 56, but that's okay, because, you know, in the goodness of God and by his economy and timeline, you've got plenty of time to do the thing that God's calling you to do. So we want to encourage you in that today. Billy, it was just over a month ago that we received news that Davey and Natalie Lloyd, along with Jude Ontis, were ambushed and killed in Haiti, in Port-au-Prince, by a gang. Let me just remind you, if you're listening, Davey Lloyd was 23. His wife, Natalie, was 21. They were missionaries from the United States working for a Christian relief organization in Haiti that was founded by Davey's parents back in the year 2000. Talk with us about some things that you have learned in the subsequent month.
Yeah, you know, I had a chance to talk with Missouri State Rep Ben Baker, and obviously he is Natalie's father. And so, you know, we did a video interview with him and not long after, and just hearing, I mean, look, when you talk to Christians who are deep in their faith, obviously they're in pain. He said, "This is the most difficult thing we've ever faced." And yet he was able to talk about his daughter and his son-in-law, how mature they were, how special they were, how all of these positive attributes played out in their life, how they went and sacrificed themselves for others. And he said their life was such a contrast to our current culture, where people are so caught up in self and worried about all the things that really don't matter. He said they were completely sold out to their calling to God, and they are examples of selfless love towards people. And he said that even ultimately in this situation did not return that love. And, you know, Davey was 23, Natalie was 21. They did not want to leave. When things got dangerous in Haiti, they stayed behind, because if they left, there was an orphanage with children and they didn't know what would happen to those kids. They'd have nowhere to go if they left. And so they stayed. And obviously we know that they were slaughtered. And it's a heartbreaking story. At the same time, you know, he talked really about the fact that he taught his kids that the will of God is absolute, that you've got to follow God. And that in this case, he knew his daughter was doing that. And he said, you know, "I don't understand all this, how it has turned out, and may not completely understand until I get to heaven, but I still try to trust that God is sovereign and he has a plan that's greater than ours." And so it was a really powerful interview. I'd encourage people to watch it. He believes that their example is actually going to speak a great deal to this generation that we were talking about, Generation Z, and that their sacrificial Kindness and love for others is going to be an example for a long time to come. And so really, I've been in touch with him since, and I've checked on the family. It's just, it's a hard story, but again, you know, trusting in God no matter what happens. And that's what the family is doing.
I want to encourage you to continue in your prayers for these families and others like them. If you want the direct link to the article at faithwire.com from which you can link to the video interview that Billy does here with Representative Ben Baker, I'm more than happy to do that. Just text me 877-933-2484 and we'll send you that link. I think you will most certainly be edified by it, and it will lead, I think, to profound conversations with young people, because they are very countercultural. It is a great contrast to the culture of the day, and it is such a testimony and witness of the beauty of the love of Christ manifested in the lives of this young couple. Billy, thank you so much, as always, for bringing us these stories. It connects us. It helps us reconnect the eternal with the everyday, and I think it gives us things to talk about in our conversations that, you know, maybe the rest of the world isn't talking about. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Billy Hollowell. He's our friend from faithwire.com. Again, if you want any of those direct links for the articles we talked about today, just text me 877-933-2484. What are the people in your life talking about today, and what are you going to be talking about today out there in the world that God so loves? Words matter, and the words that we speak matter. The things that we choose to talk about matter, and so how are you going to bring the mind of Christ to bear on all that's going on in the world today? Maybe you live in the region where, you know, it's very likely there's going to be a dam break today. Maybe you live near folks who are experiencing, you know, a bit of the unknown related to their baby being in the emergency room. Like, all kinds of things are going on in people's lives today, and you and I get to be the agents of God's grace in the midst of all of that. We get to bring it all before the throne of God's grace and mercy. We get to lift up the things to the Lord that we don't understand. We're going to always be joyful, never stop praying. We're going to be thankful in all circumstances, recognizing this is the will of God for those who belong to Christ Jesus. That's our Growing Your Faith verse of the day from 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. And as we consider all that's going on in the world, we're going to continue to bring the mind of Christ to bear. North Korea has continuing to send those balloons of trash across the border into South Korea. And I just want to say this about trash today. You know, there's trash talk. That's not the way the people of God talk. There's literal trash on the ground. Like, you and I, as ambassadors of the King and the Kingdom today, like, literally, let's stop and pick up some trash. Every time you stop and pick up a piece of trash and throw it away and put it where it belongs, you are literally putting Satan in his place. I want you to think about that. If you've been wondering today, How can I, as a kingdom ambassador, how can I put Satan in his place today? One small act of picking up a piece of trash, because that's not how God wants his creation treated. We're stewards of this big, beautiful ball we call Earth. And so pick up a piece of trash today and literally put Satan in his place. That's just a literal act that you could take to reinforce a kingdom principle in the midst of the kingdoms of this earth. There's not going to be any trash in heaven, right? There's not going to be any trash talk. There's not going to be any literal trash on the ground. So let's be picking up trash today and putting Satan in his place. How about that? We're going to talk with our friend Ruth Kramer about some of the things that are going on around the world as we continue to bring the mind of Christ to bear on every conversation, right? In everything that is happening in all places. So we're going to stimulate our prayers for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world by talking with our friend Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News. That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen. What in the world is going on in the world? We love checking in with our friend Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I understand that thunderstorms are rolling through your part of the country. We've been already praying this morning for people who are downstream of the Rapidan Dam in
in Minnesota who are expecting an imminent dam collapse. So, you know, there's a lot, there's just a lot going on in people's lives today. And so we'll be praying for you in Michigan, and trust that you'll be praying for us in the places we are. You have been talking with some of your partners, particularly in Russia. We were talking here yesterday about these attacks in the Dagestan region of Russia. Can you read us in on what is happening and what you're hearing from your partners on the ground there?
Yeah, well, obviously, this has been something that's been very unsettling in that region. Dagestan is really in the beginning of 3 days of mourning, starting Monday. And it's a situation where people are looking at the region and kind of evaluating the situation on the ground there, for especially for Christians, because it's an area that is extremely hostile to the gospel. You know, back in 2018, we saw a similar kind of a situation where there an extremist that opened fire on a Russian Orthodox church at that point. And there were, you know, mass casualties in that situation as well. So it's not unusual for these extremists to choose basically a soft target and make a statement this way. Again, ISIS is believed to be involved with the situation, which is why when we talk to our partners, they want to be really careful about what they say, because ISIS has eyes and ears all over the place, and we don't want to overexpose anybody to be seen as maybe being critical. The Russian government is also involved with trying to make things to address the situation there. So we don't want stories that we're talking about here to be perceived as striking out against, you know, a government. The Slavic Gospel Association has a lot of churches that they're supporting there, a lot of pastors that they're supporting in that region, in Chechnya as well, which also has an ongoing insurgency, very similar to what's happening in Dagestan. And what we're hearing is that there's concern about the anti-American propaganda that's being spun out of this particular crisis. That could make things a lot more difficult down the line for evangelical churches, because they're considered part of the West, because their maybe connections are seen as not necessarily the same thing as Orthodox, which is, you know, what's accepted in Russia. And so the scrutiny is already on evangelical churches. So be praying for those partners, because they do have a lot coming their way in terms of challenges. And the churches that they serve are being the hands and feet of Christ in an area that is extremely difficult. When I say security is strictly observed, I'm not really sure how much of the story we're going to be able to tell without it being scrubbed, because we want to make sure that these churches are going to be able to keep their doors open and continue to work with the body of Christ in these regions. Some of the church is underground because of what's going on there. It's been compared in some circumstances to the challenges that were faced by the churches in Mosul with the attacks of ISIS and things like that. So be praying for the body of Christ there. We're going to get more information. I'm actually doing the interview with the partner from Slavic Gospel Association in about 2 hours. I don't have a lot more than that, other than to that the Slavic Gospel Association's church partners in Dagestan were not affected directly by this attack. So that's good news. They're mobilizing on the ground to be able to respond to some of the needs that are there, though.
It's so interesting that evangelical Christians are viewed as a threat in the midst of all of this. And so it's thank you for that particular note. I'm confident we hadn't heard that as a part of this story yet. And so that's thank you for illuminating that particular facet. Can we turn our attention to what is happening with our brothers and sisters in Christ in Turkey? I know you're hearing from Voice of the Martyrs Canada about the status and plight of Christians in Turkey.
Turkey is really interesting, because Christianity has really deep roots in Turkey. And It's in spite of the rich history that it has with the body of Christ, it's an extremely difficult place to live out your faith today. You know, now Turkey is going to say they have freedom of religion, but the saying, the idiom is to be Turkish is to be Muslim, and to be Muslim is to be Turkish. So Christians have been facing a lot of pressure recently. And I say recently, I mean like in the last 10 years under Erdogan. The pressure isn't as overt as you might see in some other areas. It is covert, which sometimes means that people's visas don't get renewed. Sometimes it means that people are kicked out of the country for different reasons. In this situation, 9 Christians were kicked out of the country because they were sharing the gospel. And the work that they were doing was seen as a threat against national security. So the Secret Service actually had a report on these leaders, and they said they were violating the security of the country because they were spreading Christianity and spreading the gospel. And in this situation, the government said, you're not allowed to come back here. The people appealed, and the Constitutional Court actually got involved, supporting the government's decision to keep them out of the country. Now, there's likely going to be an appeal, and it's going to go to the European Court of Human Rights. So now it's taking it to an even bigger stage with the issues of religious freedom. What the court said is basically this move does not violate religious freedom. It's an issue of national security. And I guess bringing the discussion and the view and the pressure that Christians face in Turkey is really going to be the thing that takes center stage once this actually goes to the appeal stage.
How do you see us praying in the midst of this? I mean, in both of these situations, we're talking about countries where, you know, supposedly there is some level of freedom of religion, but in reality, there is not. I mean, when I think about Turkey, I'm thinking about a country where, you know, at one point in time, you know, like we imagined that people were genuinely free, but that's really not the case.
It's not the case. And for believers, they do feel that pressure. They feel the weight of scrutiny. We can pray for strength and endurance. That is something that VOM Canada suggested when we said, how can we be praying? I think the other thing is that we want to pray for wisdom and boldness because, you know, the gospel still needs to go forward. It just because there's pressure doesn't mean that we're exempt from the Great Commission to go and make disciples. And so we want to encourage the body of Christ that is there to continue to be bold, but to be wise about what they're doing. Find the ways to just live out their faith in front of people who may strike up a conversation to ask them why they're doing things so differently, why they're not like everybody else that they know, and look for those opportunities and ask God to provide those opportunities in ways that will lead to gospel conversations.
Leading to gospel conversations, what is happening in the lives of people in your own community? What's happening in the lives of people around the world that can open the doors to gospel opportunities, to gospel conversations? How are we supposed to be gospel people in the midst of every encounter we have with another person, regardless of where they were born or their immigration status or where they now live? When we come back, we're going to ask Ruth to fill us in on what is happening with Syrian refugees in Lebanon. The headline about Lebanon today, you know, across the news is the saber rattling across the border between Hezbollah, Iran-backed Hezbollah, and the people of Israel. But there's another conversation to be had about what is happening in Lebanon, and that is the status of Syrian refugees. So what does it look like to be gospel people in the midst of some of those conversations? That's what we'll talk with Ruth about next here on Mornings with Carmen.
As we consider the life of Jesus and the life of the first generation of Christians, reading here the book of Acts and all the letters to the Christians in the New Testament, we see people who like wake up. They come to see and understand and then receive Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And it changes everything. We see Christians then telling other people about the good news and inviting them to respond in repentance, be baptized, and follow Jesus. The movement of Christianity grows person by person and then exponentially as people walking in darkness receive the light of Christ and want others to know what they know and have what they have. Well, you and I are living in dark days. People need light. And Jesus is the light of the world today in the same way that he was the light of the world at the beginning of creation and at the first Christmas and throughout his life on earth and in his radiance now at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is the light of the world. So if you're walking in darkness of any kind today, I invite you to consider Jesus. If you'd like to know more about what it means to begin a relationship with Christ or to chat with someone about it, just text the word faith to 41224.
I know there's all kinds of flood warnings across the U.S. today, and so I want you to be aware of that and be paying attention to what's flooding in your community. In Lebanon, Syrian refugees flooded in numbers that are just really hard for us to even imagine. We've been talking with Ruth Kramer over the course of a long period of time about the status of Syrian refugees, particularly in Lebanon, but that crisis has become, I mean, it's really reached a breaking point. The people of Lebanon are themselves in a real crisis now on many, many fronts. And so obviously folks who are in Lebanon as refugees are having an increasingly difficult time. So Ruth is here from Mission Network News. Ruth, tell us what's happening here. Bring us up to speed.
Well, we spoke with Horizons International about some of the shift that we're seeing now in Lebanon with the Syrian refugees. Policies are actually being made to force a repatriation of those Syrian refugees back home. They're over 30% of the population in Lebanon are the Syrian refugees. And given the financial crisis that has been ongoing in Lebanon, the job crisis and so many other things that are happening that are kind of desperate news for the country, the Syrian refugees are being blamed for a lot of it. So there's a very strong rising anti-Syrian sentiment that has been coming across, where you see now daily attacks on the Syrian refugee population. And they're basically being told, we don't want you here anymore. We want you to leave. And we're going to figure out how to force you to leave. Horizons International is saying, okay, well, the situation is making life so miserable for refugees that that the Lebanese are hoping that it gets miserable enough that Syrian refugees will find it less miserable in Syria. And what Pierre Hosni says is, well, that's a whole lot of misery, and it's not really a good solution. And nobody seems to be looking at what's on the other side of this repatriation. Part of the reason that they're not going home is there's nothing to go home to. There is no infrastructure. There are no homes. There are no buildings. There are no government services. There's no hospitals. There's no schools. Grocery stores don't exist. I mean, Syria has been pounded into rubble. There isn't anything to go home to. And most of the families have been out of their country now for, you know, at least 10 years. And they've made a new life and a new home somewhere else. So being forced to go back to nothing is not very attractive. In addition to the fact that you've got gangs that are going around now and kidnapping people, you have forced conscription for the males of a certain age into the army to continue fighting in Syria. And people don't want to necessarily be fighting. They don't want to be part of that army services. And then you have some other issues that are on top of that, where there are extremists still running around targeting people who are coming back. So it's not safe in any way, shape, or form. So Horizons is trying to work with evangelical churches with whom they made relationship back in 2023 when Horizons was responding to the earthquakes in northern Syria. They came alongside the evangelical churches there and kind of helped to clean up and renovate homes that were damaged. And that network grew roots and it grew wide. So that's a framework, actually, for Horizons to be building an infrastructure within Syria. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to create something there so that there's a home village, that there's community for Syrian refugees to go back home to. Now, they have been working with Syrian refugees in Lebanon and discipling them and introducing them to those gospel conversations and seeing small churches spring up as a result. And if you think about it, all of these Syrian refugees who go back home to an infrastructure that has been created for them in, say, northern Syria because of the partnerships there, they're going to be bringing the gospel with them back into northern Syria. So they're almost like missionaries being deployed back into their home communities. And that's the hope that Horizons has. I mean, one of the things that they say is where they're all about proclaiming, discipling, and equipping. And that is exactly what's happening in Lebanon with the Syrian refugees. So be praying, because you know this is an ongoing conflict zone. There's a lot of concerns. Being blacklisted by the Syrian government is a real concern for those who are trying to return home. Just imagine the logistics of trying to get all the things that you need to have, all those moving parts that you need to have in place, the variables, in order to create an infrastructure that's stable enough to be able to house a community of people who are coming home again. Be praying for those logistics. Be praying for the resources. Be praying for wisdom, because, you know, this is an ongoing situation. It's a conflict still. And then be praying for people. Ask the Lord to work in the hearts of the Syrian refugees already, to be setting planting those seeds of we should be going home.
If you're thinking today that the stories that Ruth Kramer is telling us are removed, they're too far removed for us to consider important or impactful, I want you to reread the book of Ruth today from the Bible. It's just very brief. But if you want to understand what's happening today and how God feels about people who have been displaced from their homeland, in this case, Syrian refugees in the land of Lebanon, and you want to think about what it feels like, what it looks like to be a person who has lost everything, and is then either sent or expelled in such a way that they must return to the place of their origin, that's the story of Naomi. Naomi's home is Bethlehem, but she's been living in Moab for a really long time, a Gentile land. She's lost everything while in Moab, her husband, her sons, her wealth. And what she has is a Moabite daughter-in-law named Ruth. And it is with Ruth that she returns to her homeland. And it is there that they meet Boaz. And Boaz is this Christ figure. There's no other way to describe this story of redemption, the story of God's provision. And Obed, who becomes the grandfather of King David. Like, this is a story that is connected to Jesus in ways that you might have forgotten or maybe never considered before. And so I want to encourage you to consider the book of Ruth today. Ruth Kramer, thank you so much for being with us today. I want people to read up on the Day of the Christian Martyr. That story is posted at missionnews.org. I'm happy to send you the direct links. There's also wonderful updated stories there on what is happening in Gaza. Want you to connect with that information as well. We'll send you the direct links, but it's super easy to find. Mission Network News, missionnews.org. Ruth, as always, thank you so much for being with us on Mornings with Carmen.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, a couple of things in on the text line in response to the conversations that we had earlier in this hour. When we think about the joy that we have down in our hearts, down in our hearts, down in our hearts to stay, I made reference to that in terms of our Growing Your Faith verse of the day. Having this joy that pours forth all times and in every ways, always be joyful, from 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. David said, joy, 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 joy down in your heart, down in your heart, down in your heart to stay. Joy, joy, down in your heart. I always thought that was Tuesday. So you know what? We're going to start singing it that way. Joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. Get the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart, Tuesday. It's Tuesday. It's joy, 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 joy down in my heart, Tuesday. I know, you thought it was Tasty Tuesday, Taste and See Tuesday, Taste and See that the Lord is good Tuesday. Yes, well, now it's also, mark this down, going to be joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart, Tuesday. Yes, and to stay. So stick around for another hour of Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBurge. This is Faith Radio. Tomorrow's our day of forgiveness here on Faith Radio. You can text the word forgive to 877-933-2484. Thanks for listening to Mornings with Carmen LaBurge. Podcasts like this are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes to give now. And thanks.